Some of the words of the 23rd Psalm just echoing through me at the moment. When I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, you are with me, but I fear no evil. And also, you prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Just thinking that that's speaking to us all about when we're in a hard situation, that God is still there with us and he's looking after us and he's blessing us and he's feeding us and he's providing for us whatever's going on around us. And he is so good and so faithful. And yeah, he's great.
I'm not sure if this comes from God, but I just want to share this with you. So I'm in a choir, and we've been singing a beautiful classic song from the 60s, and we're obviously living in scary, troubled times at the moment. It's very challenging for us all. And we sing this lovely song by Burt Bacharach that I'm sure most of you will be very familiar with, which is "What the World Needs Now is Love." I think that's what it's called, but I'm sure you know the song I'm talking about. I don't want to sing it. I went to a show last night with men singing, and our choir normally ends with this beautiful song, and our choir musical director tells us the meaning behind the song, and that's we want that to share the love. And this choir, who sang beautifully, also chose to end it with this song, and The musical director did, you know, say the same as what I've just said. It's challenging times, but this song is so apt. So really, my message that I feel comes from God, that's what came to me in that moment. And that what the world needs now is Jesus's love. And we are his disciples. And we're here to share that message. So yes, it's our duty to do that, and we can change the world. So yeah, that's my message.
This is something which actually came to me last Sunday, but I didn't share it. And it's on the same theme as the other speakers, but just a little different. And it's something like this. And if it has no impact on you, just ignore it. But in the circumstances of life, those who please my heart and to whom I am most able to reach out are those who love me and reach out to me with all their heart. So, in the image in my mind, I see a wooden box with something in it, and I feel the Lord says about it, "That is something which you cherish, but I do not. So if you would know the fullness of my joy in your heart, take what is in the box and deal with it in a way that you no longer cherish it. And you will find that your heart is filled afresh with the knowledge of my love for you and a knowledge of my capacity to be all that you need." That's the end of what I felt I wanted to say. But please don't dig around. It may just be for one person. It may be for no one, in which case I've made a mistake. That's all right. But if there is anyone for whom that has any meaning, and it may be symbolic, there may not actually be a box, but anyway, I saw a box. But if there is any meaning in it for anyone, and then please do go for prayer or deal with it, because the Lord, if he did say that through me, it is that you may know peace and renewed joy and strength in him in the difficult times which we have. Thank you.
Yeah, do just hold those words that we've heard and seek in your own heart throughout today, the coming days, to see if that's for you. Jim is going to come now and read, and then we're going to have Sarah.
This is from Matthew chapter 10. Jesus is speaking to his disciples. He who receives you receives me, and he who receives me receives the one who sent me. Anyone who receives a prophet because he is a prophet will receive a prophet's reward. And anyone who receives a righteous man because he is a righteous man will receive a righteous man's reward. And if anyone gives even a cup of cold water to one of these little ones because he is my disciple, I tell you the truth, he will certainly not lose his reward.
Good morning. Shall we pray together? Father, we thank you for all your goodness. We thank you for your love to us that is never ending. And we thank you for your word, Lord. Thank you that you still speak today. And so, Holy Spirit, we invite you now to give us hearts that are open to you, that are good soil to receive the word that you would plant within us. Help us to discern what you're saying to us and to live in obedience to you and to know the life that you bring. Amen. All right, an assignment for you to begin with. Have a chat with the person next to you, and I'd love you to think of something to share about a welcome that you have received. So a time when you received a warm welcome, how did it make you feel? What was good about it? Okay, quick conversation with those around you. All right, bring your conversation to a close. Good buzz of conversation, which I hope is indicative that you've had lots of experiences of good, warm welcomes in your life. I guess that actually we're all recipients of welcome pretty much on a daily basis. And when it's done well, it can be so transformative, can't it? On the other hand, we probably also have had the experience of not feeling welcomed, a feeling alone in a crowded room, a feeling unseen or unnoticed, or perhaps even rejected. Maybe you've been in a place where there's been a circle of people and you've been edged out. And it's a really an awful feeling. There's a beautiful YouTube video, which I watched years ago now, of a teacher welcoming her little primary school pupils to the day. And I find it really moving to watch, because each person who comes, she greets uniquely by name. And some of them get a high five, and some of them get a hug, and some of them have a little dance. And they all have a special, unique way of being welcomed to the classroom. And each child is valued, is seen, is uniquely known. And that's what a welcome, when it's done well, does for us. So as Mary said, we're thinking about welcome today, and it turns out that Jesus has quite a bit to say about welcome. In our passage this morning that Jim read to us, he said that these were the words of Jesus to his disciples, and Jesus has just been giving his charge to the 12 disciples before they go out to preach the good news in the surrounding villages. And he gives them these instructions. He says, heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse those with leprosy, cast out demons. Freely you have received, freely give. Quite a charge. And the verses that we heard come at the end of this. And along the way, he also has warned the disciples that they won't always be welcomed, that in some places they will be rejected. And it would be because they were his followers. And maybe you have had that experience too. Maybe in some settings you have been ostracized because of your faith in Jesus. And that can be a really uncomfortable thing for us. And yet in the Beatitudes, Jesus says, rejoice and be exceedingly glad when that happens. Don't know, that's not my natural reaction. But Jesus says, rejoice and be exceedingly glad because the same thing happened to the prophets. And there'll be a reward in heaven for those who are insulted, persecuted, or when people say evil things about or against us. However, in this passage, Jesus says that some people will welcome his followers. And he says, for those people, there will also be a reward. There seems to be lots about reward in this passage. Did you notice it comes time and again that there is a reward? I think our Heavenly Father loves to reward. I think he's looking out for excuses to reward us. And Jesus says, there is a reward for giving even a cup of cold water to one of God's children. Now, over the past week, a cup of cold water is one of the best things you could have given me. And actually, when Jesus was walking on the earth in the climate where he lived, you know, a cup of cold water could be a lifesaver. So there's something in this passage about how we are sent into the world to carry the good news of Jesus, how we will be received or not by those that we go to. But there's also something about how we welcome others. And actually, welcoming people can be a very simple thing. It can be a cup of water, a smile, a few kind words. Somebody after the first service came and told me that they always have a little chat with the bus driver. And actually, it makes a difference, doesn't it? But I think it can be summarized as a generosity of heart towards others. And Jesus says that if we welcome one of his followers, we are actually welcoming him. The Benedictine monastic order have picked this up as part of their rule, and they say all guests who present themselves are to be welcomed as Christ. I think we need a pause here now to a little shout out for the welcomers. Any welcomers who are stand on the front door on a Sunday morning, give us a wave if you do welcome. Amazing. Thank you so much. Yeah, thank you. We're thankful for you. We're thankful for the warmth of your welcome on a Sunday morning, the way that you welcome people to church week by week. And remember, when you do that, you're welcoming Jesus. That's quite an awesome thought. But we know, don't we, that welcome isn't just for the welcome team. It's the responsibility of each and every one of us. I think it's completely natural for us when we come into a group, especially a largish group like this, that we want to gravitate towards those who we know. That feels safer. It's more comfortable. There's no risk involved. And for some of us, our personalities mean that it is actually extremely costly to be bold enough to speak to someone that we don't know very well, to offer a welcome. Well, let this passage today encourage you. There's a reward, it pleases God, and we have the awesome privilege of welcoming Jesus. A few years ago, I read a book called Unreasonable Hospitality. It was written by Will Guidara, and he worked at the front of house at 11 Madison Park, which for many years was the best restaurant in the world. And he writes this. He says, hospitality is the act of making people feel seen, making them feel like they belong, and giving them a sense of being a part of something bigger than themselves. Now, I don't know about you, but for me, that sounds like quite a lofty ideal when it comes to going out for a meal. It hasn't always been my experience to have had a welcome like that. But that sounds to me more like the way in which we as Christians are called to love and welcome others, making them feel seen by us and by God, helping them to know that they belong, reminding them that they truly are a part of something bigger than themselves. At the restaurant, Will and his team would consistently go the extra mile to give customers an extraordinary experience. They got to know those that they served. They regularly gave more than guests expected. They were constantly trying to think of creative and unusual ways to go above and beyond, to go the extra mile, to give something for free, to offer something special. So I wonder if there are a few things that we can heed here that will help people know that they are loved when they put a toe in the pool of church. After all, we have been the recipients of unreasonable hospitality. Unreasonable welcome. Unreasonable grace. When we come to Jesus, he welcomes us with arms wide open. He enfolds us in his love. It's an arms open, generous, rejoicing welcome. It's a kill the fatted calf, put sandals on their feet, put a ring on your finger, embrace them and put a robe around them, sort of a welcome. It's an even though we don't deserve it, welcome to the family of the King of Kings. Take a moment. That is awesome. And that is reason enough for us to be the most welcoming people on the face of the earth. Freely you have received, freely give. So because we are all called to welcome, because this high calling applies to each of us, we're going to have a crash course this morning. I'm going to give you 5 top tips on how we can help people to feel seen, to feel like they belong, to feel like they're a part of something bigger than themselves. And my first point, my first tip this morning, is begin by welcoming Jesus. How are you making space for Jesus in your life? Are you hospitable towards him? Have you responded to his welcome of you? Because he is the one that we learn from when it comes to all of this. Now, more on that later. But let's just take a peek into an account of Jesus being welcomed. And there are a number that we could choose from. At one end of the spectrum, we could think about his visit to Simon the Pharisee. And at the other end, we might think about maybe Zacchaeus, who, when he came down from the tree, invited Jesus to come into his home. But actually, we're going to think about the story of Mary and Martha. And in this narrative, which you can find in Luke chapter 10, we hear about when Jesus goes into the house of his friends, Mary, Martha, and Lazarus. And Mary and Martha have different ways of welcoming Jesus. Martha rushes about, focusing on the catering. She wants everything to be just right. Whereas Mary sits at the feet of Jesus. She just wants to be with him. She just wants his presence. And maybe this shows us something of the difference between entertaining and true hospitality. It turns out that you don't get brownie points for making sandwiches that Jesus didn't order. When we thought about a welcome that we had received, and we chatted with our neighbour about that, I wonder the kind of thing that you remembered. Because in my experience, it's not the most extravagant welcome. It's not necessarily the one where the catering is really up to scratch. But it's the authenticity, it's the genuineness that makes it impactful. And Jesus tells Martha that Mary made the better choice. Only one thing is necessary, he says to her. It's about enjoying his presence. So how are we making space to truly welcome Jesus into our lives each day? How are we cherishing his presence, noticing that he is there? Top tip number two. As you welcome Jesus, learn from his example in welcoming others. If you try reading through one of the Gospels wearing the lenses of welcome, then you'll see how Jesus is utterly radical in the way that he reaches out to others so that they know themselves seen, loved, belonging. Again, we could choose so many examples, but what is very clear is that Jesus' friendship group, those that he welcomed, were not the in crowd. He was renowned, notorious even, for being a friend of sinners. He ate with tax collectors and sinners, was the charge against him, and it was actually one of the things that got him killed. Many of you will have been here a few weeks ago when the Hembrys were visiting us and they were talking about some of their ministry. And I loved their description of the welcome that they gave to people who perhaps weren't welcome in other places. And in doing that, they were being like Jesus in their welcome. Jesus looked for the last and for the least and for the lost. He welcomed lepers and touched them. He welcomed sinners into the transforming power of his grace so that they were compelled and enabled to leave their lives of sin and find a new life of freedom and forgiveness in him. He welcomed those who were ostracized by society and gave them honor. How might we reach out with welcome to those that are not like us? That's not an easy task. And actually, it comes from the overflow of the love of God in our lives if we're going to be able to sustain living in that way. We have friends who have a practice in their household. So say they, in the course of a month, they might have two times where they invite people to share a meal in their home. And on one of those occasions, they will invite their friends. And on the other one, they would invite someone who couldn't return the invitation. They would invite someone who perhaps naturally didn't get very many invitations, or someone that they didn't know very well. What a good idea. Top tip number three, look for the gold. When we meet people, especially those who are a little different to us, we can be tempted in the same way as Elizabeth Bennet towards prejudice. If you go into a gold mine, or maybe you've even gone panning for gold somewhere, you sometimes can do that on holiday, can't you? Yeah, when you go into a gold mine, there is a lot of dirt in there. It's easy to come out with tons of dirt, but it takes time and care and observation to come out with gold. So let's be those who look for the gold in those that we meet, rather than forming our opinion and not looking beyond all of the dirt that perhaps is our first impression. Where's the gold? Jesus calls out the gold in each one of us. How can we do that for others? Number four, look out for the stranger. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 2 says, "Do not neglect to offer hospitality to strangers, for some who have done this have entertained angels." Now, I'm not necessarily suggesting that after church you should go out onto the main road and just the first person that you meet, you invite them into your home. Although do be alert to what the Holy Spirit might be saying to you. But every day, many of us interact with a whole host of strangers. So how can we make those interactions carry greater significance? In some cases, it might be smiling or a friendly good morning. It might be just passing the time of day at the bus stop. Or maybe we could take it a step further that would help someone feel seen, feel loved, feel that they belong, feel that they are part of something bigger than themselves. It might be noticing if someone is in distress and offering them kindness, asking if you could pray. I have friends who were breaking a journey at a service station. They were in a horrendous traffic jam and they just thought, let's get out of here and we'll go and have something to eat. And lots of people had decided to do the same thing, so it was quite busy. But they were in the queue and they spotted somebody who was on their own. And this person was quite different to them, American, younger. My friends were in their 70s and they just kind of got chatting to this person in the queue. They invited him to come and join them to eat. And they had had a lovely conversation. They spoke very gently about their faith and about their church. It wasn't until a couple of weeks later when they were watching television that they discovered that they'd shared a meal with Will.i.am. So some who have offered hospitality to strangers have entertained angels and others have entertained Will.i.am. Who knows what might happen? And my fifth and final tip for you this morning, take a risk and practice. You can start here in church. Look out for someone you don't recognize or someone on their own and go over and say hello. This is one of the reasons that I like to ask you to have a little conversation at the beginning of when I'm doing a talk. It's creating a culture where we can engage with others. It becomes the way we do things around here. Now, sometimes we can sort of almost talk ourselves out of doing this, of talking to those that we don't know so well. We can tie ourselves up in knots. We get worried about offending or being rejected or getting something wrong. I had a friend who sat next to someone in church that he didn't recognize. So he was brave and he said hello and he asked her how long had she been coming for. She replied by saying, "We've been here 24 years, I'm the vicar's wife." They had a good laugh about it. And it doesn't matter if you make a mistake. As your church family, we promise that we will be gracious, that we will not get offended, that we will not embarrass you if you've already asked us our name several times, that we would just be glad that you stepped out of your comfort zone and to welcome us. When we welcome, even if we are shunned or rejected, remember, there is a reward. So as we welcome others, we are welcoming Jesus Christ, Son of God, King of Kings, Lord of Lords. Let's do it in an unreasonably generous way. Let's do it as Christ's ambassadors, so that we welcome, so that those that we welcome know that they are seen by Him, that there is a place of belonging in Him, that they are part of something bigger than themselves, because they are made in the image of God and invited to share an eternity with Him. Shall we pray together for a moment? Father, as we gather in your name this morning, we are so grateful to you for your welcome of us through Jesus. Thank you for reaching out to us, Lord, that when we were lost and without hope, you reached out, you offered us unreasonable hospitality. And Lord, we are called Christians, those that are like Christ, and we want to be more and more like you. Would you form that, form us into your image in this way, Lord? Would you give us eyes to see those who need that welcome? Would you give us courage to take the opportunities? Lord, we offer you ourselves afresh today. We say, here we are, Lord. Send us, use us for the glory of your name. Amen.